Hello and welcome to Unstoppable, the podcast. This is Nicole Eisler, your host, and I'm really excited. We are changing things up this episode and doing something I don't typically do. When I created this podcast, I really wanted to provide for you a space to reflect, to shift your mindset around what it really looks like and feels like to be unstoppable and feel badass in today's world climate. It is so needed. It is absolutely possible, and that's what I'm here to share with you. So I don't typically have guests on the podcast, but I met these two ladies, and our conversation unfolded. I found it inspiring. They were so full of life, their passion. They really felt called to make a difference, starting with their own family and their own children, but that grew into something even bigger than they anticipated and that they had expected. And that is, I think, the part of the story that I love so much, is that they continued to say yes, and it continued to evolve, and their dream continued to grow. And because of that, they've made a bigger impact. And so I wanted to share their story with you, because I think right now in our world climate, it's really important for us to find and fixate on things to be inspired about, to find and fixate on people who are making magic happen, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what's going on around them. They're saying yes, they're stepping out, they're stepping forward. It's possible for you, it's possible for me. And these ladies are just such a great positive example of that. And that is why I invited them. My heart just blurted the words out of my mouth and said, "Do you want to be on my podcast?" And that was that. So I hope you enjoy their story as much as I enjoyed talking with them. They are just amazing, inspiring women doing just beautiful things for children and their families. And I will see you on the next show.
Welcome to Unstoppable, the podcast, where we dig deep into next level dreams, living intuitively and powerfully. Real talk, sarcasm, the mindset like a boss approach to make your magic happen in today's changing world.
You'll find it all right here, badass.
Now let's get to it with your host and positivity powerhouse, the mindset boss lady, Nicole Eisler.
Welcome back to another amazing episode, but this one is so special and so, so close to my heart. I'm very excited. I have some amazing, unstoppable ladies on the podcast today. You're going to love them. I know I did. I met them through a networking group that I am in, Women Making an Impact, and Chelsea was there giving this amazing presentation, and I found myself all in. I found my heart warm. I loved what she was talking about. I loved what she was sharing and the perspective. And of course, I always love connecting with women who just take that unstoppable approach to making change happen. And these ladies are doing it. They have been doing it for a very long time. You're going to love this. I'm going to welcome to the show Chelsea Booty and Denise Shamans. Did I say it right? Please tell me yes. I said it right. I even asked, right? So Chelsea is the executive director and Denise is the creative director and co-founder of Good Friend Incorporated. Oh my God, ladies, I can't wait till you share everything about what you're up to and who you are actually helping in the world. Welcome, ladies. I will let each of you just start with an introduction and we get to see where our conversation takes us. It's going to be amazing.
Thanks so much, Nicole. This is great. I really appreciate the opportunity. I loved meeting you as well. I love the Women Making an Impact group. I think, one of my favorite phrases is be the good. And I am so grateful for all the ways that you are being the good, for all of those women in that networking group are being the good. So my motivation for being the good are my two kids who are now grownups. They are both on the autism spectrum. And you can imagine as a mom when you find out that not only is one of your kids not typically developing, but both of yours are, it is a calling. And so I realized that I needed to dive in headfirst as a mom. And at the time I was staying at home with my first child when he was born, and then as my second one came along and was diagnosed, it really became a full-time job to learn how to be the best mom possible to them. And it along that road, I was able to meet Denise, who was at the time running a support group in the school district that we were in, the school district of Waukesha. And I'm a huge nerd. And I was coming to all of her support group meetings with this binder of resources, because since it was my job to be this all-in mom, I wanted to make sure that I shared that out with other moms who weren't able to be all-in, because not everybody could. I was really blessed that I had a husband who let me do that. We could afford to have me do that. So that was lovely. So she kind of got to this point where she's like, wouldn't it be great if we made a movie about autism for kids who don't have autism? I'm like, that's the best idea ever. I love that idea. And I'm all in for that. I was getting to a point where my youngest was going to be going off to kindergarten. And this seemed like just a great way to lean into not only being the good for my kids, but being the good for a much larger audience.
You said so many magical things. Idea, lean into, all in, best mom for my kids. Ah, that is why I'm right. I'm a nerd. Me! Yay! And Denise, I love how the two of you connected, but also how welcoming you were, right, to each other, to take something and make it even better by doing it together. Tell us a little bit about how did you start the support group?
And sure. So thanks, Nicole, for having us on this. I love the unstoppable theme. I think that's pretty appropriate for us. When I was doing the support group, it was because I was the parent liaison for the school district of Waukesha. Mm. It's a volunteer position. And had been doing that for about 10 years. And it's basically supporting newly diagnosed families and helping them navigate the special education world and be that go-between between staff and the families. And so one of my duties was to try to resurrect this support group. And it was a great support group for the mommies and daddies that were in it, but it was very small and it was always the same 9 to 12 parents. And at the time, I knew that there were hundreds of families out there in the special ed world that needed connection. And I didn't know how to get to them. And it was really frustrating. So I did that for about 3 years. And then I started going into my son's classroom and talking about him and how his autism affected him. Give you a little background. I have three kids. They're not kids anymore. They're almost fully all grown, but my oldest is 23. And then I have a 21-year-old son, Sam, who is on the spectrum. And then I have a daughter, Anna, who's 17. And at the time, Sam was only in first, second grade split. And I'd go into the classroom and try to explain what his autism was and how they could connect with him. And the teachers loved it and the kids loved it. And they had such great questions. And I thought there's got to be a better way to reach and you know, saw a niche there, saw a need there. And so when Chelsea started showing up, and it was perfect, because it wasn't, I knew I couldn't do all of that. And I wanted to use my gifts and storytelling, but I also wanted to use someone else's gifts. And it was just great. So when I asked her to collaborate, that's kind of when we were trying to figure out whether it was going to be for business or nonprofit. And we hammered it all out within a day, and we're ready to roll. I mean, we were unstoppable. It was one of those things where it's like, you know, we're both a Christian in our beliefs, and we both believe that, you know, God has put things, put people in our place for different purposes. And I think that everything lined up for that first film that was just magical. I mean, we were able to just take it and produce it and get it out there like within months. I think what, Chelsea, 3 or 4 months, we had that film ready to go.
Yeah.
So we knew that we just were in the schools. There wasn't any, it was, Chelsea likes to say it's building the plane as we fly it, because it really was.
Nice. Yes. That is a big, I mean, just pause on that statement for a moment, because there's so many times when women are looking at their goals or dreams or making changes and feeling like they need to have everything in place first. But I think what you're clearly pointing out is what you need to have in place is your heart. Mm-hmm. My heart's in the right place. It's going to come together. I'm going to lean in. Right. I can't even, like, I'm just picturing the children and getting excited. And I do. I get very emotional about it, because it is absolutely it was the right thing. And it was neat. I mean, I feel like I hope awareness has increased and grown by now. Right. And with your efforts and all of that, we can just expand on that and use more. But what divine timing there. On all of it.
Yeah. And how can you explain, like, after we've been in a classroom connecting all of these kids together, you just can't explain the feeling when you leave and they're all like, you know, half of them are giving you hugs and, you know, they're just like, thank you, you know, for doing it. And, you know, we're just an hour in, like, you know, it's a mic drop moment for us and that's it. And we just hope that they, keep it up. And we've been in some schools that have really embraced it and have really been able to take what we started and weave it into their day, which is great.
It is great. And man, you talk about kids. My eyes just instantly well up, right? They just, because I work with younger teenagers. I work with women all from all ages, all the way up until retirement. And so many of them never felt like they fit in when they were a child, right? And so this is why it's in my wheelhouse. But now, Chelsea, when you came to our meeting, you were talking a lot about your perspective on things, and you shared that about your organization. And what do you feel like is important for people to understand, you know, whether they're aware of autism, they're not, they've heard of it, what do you just really want people to know or recognize? Because I felt like your philosophy was so aligned. We were in such alignment. But how would you explain it? What would you like people to know as far as, like, hey, here's what it is. Like, here's what it is, and here's how we approach it.
That is a perfect question. It's like the million-dollar question, I feel like. What kind of differentiates Good Friend Inc. from perhaps another autism-related organization? So kind of two things. First of all, the thing that Good Friend does, our intervention is with everyone who surrounds the person with autism. So we don't have a direct intervention for people on the spectrum. We know that autistic people have enough interventions. I mean, good Lord, there's interventions from the time they're diagnosed and for many of them just throughout their lifetime. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when they're younger, some of those interventions are kind of thrust upon them, and they're usually given to them or provided to them by those of us who are of neuromajority. So when I say that, I'm talking about people who maybe don't have an autism spectrum disorder or a mental health issue or maybe ADHD or something like that, neuromajority. Mm-hmm. Then there's this paradigm of neurodiversity, and that's kind of the second part that makes Good Friend different, is that we believe that all people should be accepted and appreciated wherever they are in their neurology and how that expresses itself. So we're trying to educate the neuromajority, the people without autism, what it's like to have autism, what it's like to be on the spectrum. We like to say that we're interpreting that autistic neurology for people who don't have that brain wiring. And the reason I think that that's so important is I think sometimes people will observe people on the autism spectrum and think they are so different. We don't have anything in common. There's no way we connect. And we like to show those similarities. You do connect in so many ways, and their expression of emotion might look different from you. The way they express anger might really be anxiety, and the way that they express frustration might be much more loudly than you would express your frustration. Mm-hmm. But you guys have those same emotions. And so just getting them to connect with how they're more alike than different and what their similarities are is what creates mm-hmm. that kind of social emotional foundation for creating relationships.
Ah, see, we're all different. I mean, that's the way we're all different. Do we, you know, whatever you, what? And yay. That's I'm just like, and everyone's unique and they're amazing. And, you know, I guess I flash back to as a mom when my children, my boys are adults and when they were in school, and they just loved all their friends. Like they loved them all. There was no, just everyone was who they are. And that's the way I love the approach, that it's not this person, because they're created this way, should have to change for everyone. It's how can we be more inclusive, and how can we more closely, you know, come together as people. This is always the message. And so I just always get very fired up about that, because I think that we're all created to stand out in our own way. I really don't believe that we're created to fit in per se. I think we're just created to come together. And the more variety we have, then the more, I believe, the more potential we have. And so I'm all about that. I absolutely love this. Now I am all about this positive and the group. Now, how long have you ladies been doing this again? I don't think we touched on that, but how long have you been collaborating and working together and making your magic happen?
13 years. It is 13 years in August, which is crazy to think about.
That's amazing. That's like, if you could guesstimate, how many lives would you, like families, lives, children? I mean, really, let's look at the stretch and the reach that you've, but how many lives have you interacted with, impacted in a positive way, would you guess, over all of those years? Because you said different school districts too.
Right. So we know that we have presented personally to over 53,000 people in those 13 years.
You can't see my face, but it's
So what the reach is beyond that, I'm not really sure, because our films have, you know, gone from coast to coast and into Canada. So we're not sure how many more people beyond that 53,000.
Wow. That's unbelievable. That's unstoppable. And I really, really love it. So I am going to talk about two, because the positives are definitely there, but 13 years, let me just guess that it wasn't all rainbow days. And maybe there were some moments when you thought, what's happening? Or how do we move to the next? Because 13 years, there's a lot of growth and evolving, maybe even changes with, I don't know if it's with the schools or what you're, of course, what you're learning. You're also learning new things all the time. And I would also just guess that from the 53,000 lives that you've been interacting with, that's what helps you grow and evolve as an organization as well. What do you actually do? What do each of you do to empower yourself and stay? I understand that coming from, this just is my purpose. Like I don't really have to work hard to stay on my purpose. But I think sometimes women, they move in and out of, maybe in the beginning stages, on the hard days. Is this working? Are we growing? Are we reaching our goals the way we want? And you may even feel like, but what do you do, each of you, to empower yourself and stay on course, stay on your path, on purpose, even on those hard days?
Well, I guess I'll go. I think for me, spirituality is a really huge part of my life and has helped me overcome struggles within just my own family and friends and this mission. So that's been really important. But I think we've always put our families first, and that has been the focus for us. We've been fortunate enough to have very supportive husbands that have let us go after this, even when the money wasn't there. And, they supported us along the way. They knew what we were doing and what we were trying to achieve. Mm. So I think that, as well as just taking time out for myself to make sure that I'm still mentally where I should be. If I'm presenting a positive message and I want people to be loving and supportive and accepting, then I have to live that too. So I make sure that I really focus on maintaining that positive energy in my life and just really focusing on all the good stuff and the blessings. So being thankful, really.
Oh, so many good ones in there. I mean, it's really important. So I have this dream and, you know, involving your, I mean, in your situations, it might seem different to be, well, of course they're your children and you're doing, but you didn't just, you started with your own children, but you really moved out into the community and for the good of all, right? And to really do that. And you said some key things like, listen, I just share why I'm doing this and why this means so much and why it's important and time for myself, my faith, keeping my belief strong, that gratitude and that appreciation, some very key things. And Chelsea, you're probably, I mean, these are some of the, like, yes, just yes, all of these. And what about for you? They may be similar, right? Or the same, but it's, then we'll just triple magnify them because I think more women need to do these things and hear these.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's important to acknowledge that it, just like you said, Nicole, it wasn't always easy and it wasn't always unicorns and butterflies and rainbows. And I think the part that's super cool about Denise and I is we've got this yin yang thing going on and we understand each other's strengths. And so we want to play into that. We want to make sure that we leverage one another's strengths. And then there's the part like, we're friends too. And I can't tell you how many people, men mostly, when we started this and they said, okay, so who are you doing this with? Oh, my friend Denise. Don't do it. Don't do it. You guys are going to hate each other. It's going to go badly. Don't do it. And I just kind of looked at them. I'm like, I just don't think that's true. I think we're going to be okay. I think we can figure it out. And we've had to figure it out, especially as we're growing and roles change. I mean, I'll be real honest. You know, the first probably 7 years, it was a really amazingly impactful hobby. And it was wonderful. We loved to do it. Mm-hmm. But when someone told us we were treating this like a hobby, I was so offended when they said that at first. And then as we got to this point, we got kind of to this year 9 and our kids were growing up and we had done some really great things. And so we kind of looked at, you know, kind of splayed out on the table, the impact that we'd had. It was formidable. It was definitely more than anyone thought was possible. Mm-hmm. And we're like, you know what? There'd be no shame in hanging up the spurs. This was a really good thing. We really put in, we gave it a good run, but we're tapped out. So do we hang it up or do we double down? And I think Denise and I took about a half a breath and we're like, nah, double down, double down. This is it. Like, let's figure out how to make this not a hobby, how to make this huge, how to make this bigger than the two of us.
Yes.
And we definitely had a board of directors. I don't want to at all impugn the other volunteers that we had along the way that believed in us, believed in this mission. But there's been a very steep learning curve for both of us, I think, over the last 3 years in particular.
So that was the, how do we do this? What is it going to look like? You asked the key questions. And it's amazing because there are a lot of people, partnerships, they don't work. You don't want to go in on that together. And that is to both of you, because it does take, it's not like, it's not about me. It's not about you. This is about our purpose. And this is about why we're doing this and to be able to honor each other. You said, both of you have said so many amazing things already about how, you know, each of our strengths and realizing that, learning that, changing things, that you're adapting, you're evolving, you're creating something. This is what I love about everything you're sharing is that you're not so attached. This is something that can hang people up sometimes. They get so attached to the original dream that they lose sight of the bigger vision, right? And so when you have that big vision, you say, this is great, but wow, we could really expand, or this could grow into something even more beautiful and even more expansive. And to trust and lean into that, that is amazing. And because not every day, it's easy for people to look on the from the outside and say, oh, well, yeah, I mean, they've been doing it for 13 years, or, oh, well, they have each other, so they're not doing it alone, or they have a board, so they have all these that changes nothing about challenges coming up or changes in decision making or the school system or, right? This is, so it's just really to give props to both of you for keeping the vision so strong and listening to your calling. I mean, this is what excites me too. It wasn't just something you were doing. And I remember too, in your presentation, you were also sharing how you were not finding the information in the way that felt right for you. There was like a misalignment, if I can call it that, and finding things. And so you decided to do it different. I love that. Like if you're not finding what you want or what works for you, do it different. Permission to be outside the box, yeah. Right? And permission to just go out and do that. How is that, again, you know, I don't know if there's the question around that or just how do you approach that every day to keep it in almost, I was going to say keep it in perspective, but it's almost like keep the perspective open. How do you stay adaptable and continue to evolve without feeling, you know, no, we have to do it this way. How do you, is that, you know, your leadership? Is it the team approach? I kind of feel you attract people who come in with that understanding as well. But how do you feel like you stay that adaptable and resilient way to continue to the growth?
You know, I, as you were saying that, I realized that I think it really has to do with us as parents. I mean, we have children that should not be feeding, you know, the stats are against them. And we have always taught them to reach higher, to set that bar higher, to challenge them, to not shrink away from opportunity. I think why, if we're teaching our children to live that way and create, trying to help create this world that's accepting of them, we have to live that. We have to believe that. Mm. Too. So that's reflective in our mission and what we do. It's like we don't shrink back if there's an opportunity there and it's something that's not a gift that I have. I need to find that person that's going to help me achieve it, right? So it's shining up into somebody else's ability and not being prideful. So understanding, number one, how to look for opportunities, not be afraid of opportunities and take the opportunities, which is everything that I'm teaching my children.
Ah, so good. And it's so good that to role model that. That goes up for anyone, right? And as women, mothers, women, staying strong as your self, so that I can be that role model. I can be that example. It allows you to be in alignment with what you're teaching them by showing them instead of telling, no, don't do it like I'm doing it. Don't be exhausted like me. Don't stand back and hold back like me. Go do your thing. But I think that's really making a deeper impact by living the example. You know, there's a lot of things that will certainly come up and challenge us or feel like this could stop me. But finding that within and putting your children like right there in the front, but still coming from self and being that example. That's amazing. That's such a great. So what have you learned about, I mean, obviously you're living this, teaching your children, parenting, being role models in the community, in the schools and children and parents and adults. What have you learned about yourself through this 13 years that if, you know, the old, like, oh, if someone had told me back then where we'd be now, I would think, what, me? No. What have you discovered about yourself through the process? Because man, that's the part I cannot always tell anyone that I'm working with. The magic that you discover about yourself or what happens in your life because you decided to take this action, right? That's the surprise part. That's the sprinkles on top to me. So what was it for each of you that you're like, well, here's what I have really discovered or what surprised me about what unfolded for me?
I think for me, it happened in different domains. So in the personal domain for this, I realized what I was kind of missing. I was missing doing something that tapped into my strengths. Mm. Not that being a mom didn't tap into my strengths.
Oh, I get you.
Love my babies. Love
yes.
them.
Yes.
But you know, I felt like there was part of me that had this, you know, this college education, this professional life that I wanted to return to. And I think starting this nonprofit organization, it pushed all of those kind of, I want to make a professional difference buttons for me. Mm-hmm. Never really thought about working in the nonprofit sector, had no experience in the nonprofit sector, but that was of no consequence. This was really a nice thing for me that way. I think when it came to being a mom, what I learned and how I've evolved as a mom, what I've learned from adults, especially on the autism spectrum and meeting so many different autistic kids, is the great takeaways from all of them and how I learn from them as a person, especially as a neurotypical person, that we are not always the best teachers. I think there have seeing all the therapists for my kids, the teachers for my kids, the mentors for my kids, pretty much 100% of them have been neurotypical. They're, you know, maybe a couple here and there who were neurodivergent, but then meeting more autistic mentors or professionals made me realize that there is most definitely an autistic culture. And I'm really hoping that my now grown-up kids start to identify with that a little bit more, and that I take their lead a little bit more on what living their autism means for them. And then I think when I look at how we've grown as professionals, where we were when we started this thing and we're like, this is a great idea, let's run with it, without knowing what tools we needed in our toolbox. And I think when we availed ourselves to going, yeah, it's not going to happen magically. Like, there isn't going to be, we were like waiting for some guardian angel to go, here's $1 million.
Aren't we all, sister?
Everywhere. Yes. Ever. And when that didn't happen, we're like, okay, you know, this nonprofit didn't start itself. It's not going to run itself. What tools do we need to put in our own toolbox to be able to scale this, to be able to engage more people, and to make the kind of impact that we want to be able to have. So those are the three for me.
Oh, just all amazing. And that you get to discover as you go. You don't need to know everything in advance. You know, probably some of that, if someone has said, oh, here's all the things you're going to learn, you'd be like, what? That's a bit, like, that's big. Okay, that's big. What are you talking about? So I love that we get to discover as we step forward, move into it. What about you, Denise? Tell us your golden nuggets.
I'm in my 50s now, and I just I think about how I was when we started, and you know, I had a passion. I wanted to connect kids, and I wanted to use my creativity in that film format. But oh my gosh, I mean, we were constantly pushed. We were constantly something was put in front of us where we had to step and be uncomfortable. You know, we had to be comfortable with being uncomfortable, like, all the time. And I mean, I was not a presenter. I went to school for commercial art. I had a speech class and I did not like it and I hated it, and I'd break out in a sweat and I'd run out of air when I wanted to talk, and it was terrible. And I remember when we first started, I asked Chelsea, I'm like, you've got to present. You've got to take the first presentations. And I observed, because I'm a visual learner. And so I had to watch and I had to listen and I had to watch how the kids responded to her and how she did it. And then I took it. And then once I took it, it was just like a drug, because I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to do this more. I loved the kids. I loved the feedback I got. And then all of a sudden it was like, it was just a love language. It just changed, you know? So now all of a sudden I'm not scared at all. I can talk to hundreds of people at a conference and it doesn't freak me out, because I'm talking about what is passionate to me and what I love. And I couldn't be any better. And then, you know, using as things come up, it's like, I never thought I would be into making films. I didn't know I'd be using my art that way. Now I'm making films and I dig it and I love it. And I would do it over and over and over again.
And didn't you just get some big news about a film?
Yeah. Yeah. We just, our middle school film that was released last year, has already won an award at a film festival for their disability track. And then we just got notification that Toronto or Thunder Bay Canada Film Festival accepted it and is going to be screening it in September.
Amazing.
So, yeah. It's really great that people love the format, love the way that it kind of took over and evolved itself. And we're pretty proud of that.
You touched on some amazing things again. It's normal to be nervous about doing something new. I think people think, well, I just should be doing that. Or why do I feel this way? Because it's normal and you worked through it and you stuck with it. And then you said, and it became my love language. And I absolutely love that. I was flashing back to my very first talk ever where I, sorry, TMI, vomited after because I was so nervous. You're supposed to breathe. I forget to breathe. I would get all out of breath, and then thought I had it all wrapped up until I started working in senior living. And I was teaching and leading a class for seniors. Well, I never did that before. And they were like, what is she saying? I can't. It was just like starting all over again. But you know what? That's what happens when we get better. And it became a lot of fun. And I love the messages that you shared today because you're walking the talk, you're showing that unstoppable does not mean perfect. Like everything just drops out of the sky. Like you said, the angels, they just come and do it all for you. It's not always easy. It is, you are challenged, but man, when you're coming from that heart space and you have your vision clear and you can't even imagine saying no, because you're being called to something, it is what just moves your life to new levels. It expands who you are. You 53,000 lives. That's probably an under. I'm sure there's even more because the ripple effect and everything else that happens. My life has been touched because you decided to move in this direction. And who knows who's listening, who may hear something they needed to hear today, or may reach out to both of you ladies or the organization just to have some support or to learn something or get the information in the way that feels right for them. So speaking of, as we finish, what would be most helpful for you in moving in your direction, and how can people, what would you recommend for people to get in touch with you or learn more, get involved, whether it's, I know you have, goodness, so many amazing activities and opportunities for volunteering, sponsorships. You really you're rocking it, ladies. Like it is so moving. But what would be most helpful for you, and where would you encourage people to find you?
Those are great questions. I think you have to think about, as an individual, where do you want to plug in? Mm-hmm. Do you want to volunteer? Is time and talent the best thing that you can provide? Because if that is, we definitely have committees. Of course, in the midst of the pandemic, our committees are meeting virtually. But that's a great thing to be able to bring some time and talent to our organization. You certainly through those fundraisers, that's another volunteering opportunity. If you're more of a one-off volunteer or just kind of like those special events, we have those opportunities as well. And donors, I use this analogy a lot, like not everybody can go, but whoever's jumping off the cliff needs someone to hold the rope. And I feel like all of those who fund our work, you're holding the rope. We'll jump off the cliff. You hold the rope for us. And so that's another great way. And whether that's donating as an individual on a monthly basis, being a corporate sponsor for something, aligning your company, aligning where you are drawing your energy to a cause that's doing something good out in the community. So, if creating inclusive communities is something that resonates with you and you want to align with a nonprofit that's doing that, we would be more than happy to have a conversation about that partnership. So probably the best thing that people could do is visit our website, goodfriendinc.com. There is a volunteer form on there that you can complete and get back to us. There's a contact form. Let us know how we can best contact you, how you would like to be part of that. And of course, there's a donate button on there too. And we would be more than happy to interact with you that way.
Yes. It's, whatever, that's what I would say, whatever works and how we, and it's all inclusive. You always using all my favorite words today, which is why we connect so much. This is about, and with me, I work with highly sensitive people, and It's a little bit different level, but it's always all inclusive. And how can we help more, and how can we help each other? And, you know, this is what, how do we carry that together, right? And expand things. And so what, obviously those, the volunteer, donors, sponsors, any other thoughts you want to leave, our listeners with, or that, that came up for you through our chat today? Cause I always like to make sure, like, is there anything that we missed or that we need to touch on? Cause I know I could talk to you ladies all day about this stuff. You're just, we're right in the sweet spot. But well, anything.
I would add to that, that we're looking for connections too in the employment area. And so if there are small business owners or anyone in that corporate space that wants to make connections with us, we are all about collaboration. We're all about networking. So even if it isn't you directly that can help us, if you know people that you think can, that we can talk to and share a mission with, that's really helpful right now.
Yeah, that is a great point, because people who know people who know people, you know, right? And even just sharing the podcast, sharing their page, their website. You know, I try to do my best on social media when someone's doing a good thing, say, hey, have you seen this? You know, click like, follow what they're doing, because there's always that circle outside the circle that you just don't know where that connection is, and how many more lives can we impact together, and how many more children can we help and bring them together, and even more of that all inclusive. I am so grateful that I met you. I'm so grateful that I get to help and just share the information, and that we got to have this great conversation, because not everybody's feeling so unstoppable. There are some people out there right now that are feeling extra challenged. And I think just hearing real hero stories, hearing real people doing real things to make a real difference in the world. It's, you know, in my world, I hear a lot, well, I'm not Oprah, and Oprah started somewhere. And you are, in my world, you're all in the same pool to me, because you're doing it. You're living it. You're making the difference. It's, you know, you are, to me, you are Oprah. No, you are making that difference. So I'm just really, I admire you, and I'm so grateful to know you. And thank you for joining me on the show.
Thank you so much for having us. Thank you for the work that you do and for helping people find their superpowers. We've all got them. So yeah. Thanks for helping people find theirs.
I love it. All right. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening, badass. Give a click on the subscribe button so you don't miss an episode, and visit online at themindsetbosslady.com. Until next time, trust your first feel, not your second thought. You got this, and you are unstoppable.